From the bottom of Lamed Zayin, Amud Beis, just the very end. There's really a shaykh we were talking about that yesterday. It spills over to the next Amud, talking about the Kree. What's written, what's not pronounced, what's pronounced, not written. So the last line says Kesavam Velo Karyon. What are the examples of words that are written but they're not next read? So No Divi Yislach, right? There's a word No, and that pasuk in Malachim Beis. Now we turn over to the top of Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Just giving more examples. Zos de Hamitzvah, right? That's pasuk in Devarim. Yidroch did Hadorech, Chamish de Pas Negev, Im de Kol Goel, Kigoel Halein. All these things, Kesavon velo Karyon. They're all written, but they're not really read. Okay, now move on to the next part to them on the third line from the top. Amar of Acha Bar Ada Bimarova. So Barova literally means in the west. Well, okay, so where were they standing? They were what's in Bava, which is modern-day Iraq. So Iraq is to the east of Eretz Yisrael. So when they refer back what they would say in Eretz Yisrael, they would say B'marova. So what was the minog in Eretz Yisrael? So B'marova paskin lahai dein psuka l'tlos psukin. They would divide this pasuk into three psukim. Tlos, the tuf and the shin are interchangeable, so tlos becomes shalosh, tuf lamed. Tough is Shin Lamed Shin. So three psukim. What is it? Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Hine Anochi Bo Elecha Ba'av HaAnon. That's in Parshas Yisro about the Kabbalah Satorah. Good to be thinking about as preparing for Shavuos. So now these are some of the famous Agadatas in Shas here in the fourth parak in the Darim. Amar Rabbi Chama Barabbi Chanina. Lo Heshir Moshe El in Pesolton Shel Luchos. The way Moshe Rabbeinu became rich, he was extremely wealthy, was because he had the remaining leftover parts that from the luchos that weren't really used. In other words, you have to carve out. And when you're carving out, so you know you're carving, you go to a wood shop, Lahavdil, and there's wood shavings all on the floor. So if you have this expensive material, the luchos, and Moshe Rabbeinu is carving it out, well, he gets to keep the leftovers. How do you know that? Shnemar psol lecho shnei luchos avanim kirishonim. You should, you know, hew out for yourself these two luchos like you did the first ones. Psol tan shelcha yehei. So psol can mean like to carve out, but it can also mean like something that's like left over, the extra parts of these. And since these were made of very, very precious material, very expensive, like gems. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu became rich because he got to keep the remainders. Om Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Lo Nitna Torah El Moshe Lazaro. Well, the Lord's going to reject this, but let's just go through the Havmina. Originally, the Torah was only given to Moshe and to his kids, and to no one else. No one else except for Moshe and his descendants. Shnei Mark says in Pesach, Ksav Lecha, you should write for yourself. Well, let's go back. Let's just make a connection. It says, Ksav Lecha, write for yourself. It just said, Psal Lecha, you should cut out. Like hew for yourselves. Emma Pesoltan Shelcha, just like the leftovers was for you, Sa'af Kesavan Shelcha, so to the Kesiva, you're writing this down, but only for yourself, for your own benefit, no one else, nobody except for Moshe and his kids. Now, then the Gemara says, but Moshe, nevertheless, even though it was really only given to Moshe and his family exclusively, Moshe Nohagba Tovasayin, he was very generous. Unason al Yisrael, and he gave it to the Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people. V'al v'kos v'omer, on Moshe Rabbeinu it says, the Pasuk in Mishlei, Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, the one who has generous eyes, doesn't mean he has good eyesight, like you don't wear glasses, means he's generous with his things, Tov Ayin Hu Yevorach, he'll be blessed, right? Because he gives to give others. So again, we're going to immediately reject this, the idea that what, are you serious? The Torah was really only given to Moshe? Can't be. Mos Rav Chisda va'osi tziva Hashem ba'eis ha'hilei mor eschem. Rav Chisda, how can it be that the pasuk says this is in the beginning of Chumash Devarim? Moshe says God commanded me at that time to teach you the chukim and the mishpatim. That says clearly Moshe has a tziva, a command to teach Torah to the all of Klal Yisrael. Lichatchila, it wasn't like meaning really it was just for me, but now I'm going to share it with you. No, Moshe had to share it all along. Osi tziva. Vani lechem, right? Hashem commanded the Torah to me, and I, Moshe, on my own initiative, I'm teaching it to you. I'm teaching you the chukim mishpatim like Hashem commanded. So where it says, Osi tzivo v'ani lechem. Hashem commanded me, Moshe, and I'm teaching it to you. This is the very end of the Chumash Devarim. You should write this Shira. Machlokis in the Rishonim already. Is that Shira referring to the entire Torah? The entire Torah is called Shira. Or is it only referring to Ha'azinu? Now, from here we learn there's a mitzvah. It's actually, I think there's a book called this, the 613th mitzvah. The last mitzvah of all the 613 is to actually write a Sefer Torah. It's learned out from here, right? From this pause. Va'ata kisu lechem es ha-shira hazos. So, if you're learning that this Shira Hazos is going on the whole Torah, okay, so you have a mitzvah to write the whole Torah. But if you learn the Pshat, no, it's only going on Hazinu, said, and how are you going to learn from this requirement just to write Hazinu, then I have a mitzvah to write the entire Torah? It doesn't make sense. So the answer is, because you're not allowed to write sections of the Torah. It's basically like a Gemara in Gittin, I believe. Since you can't write the Torah in sections, once you have a command to write part of the Torah, Hazinu, it means you have to write the whole Torah, because you're not allowed to write any part of it by itself. So Hashir Lechuda. Limora says, this is just a Shira in Hazinu, right? Leman tiuli Hashira Hazois la'ei b'vnei Yisrael. This will be a witness for me. So that sounds like it's going on the entire Torah, where all the mitzvahs are. So it has to be that the Torah was commanded lichatchila to give to everybody. So then what really was just given to Moshe? And that I mean, there was something that Moshe had that he was Tova Zion, he shared with. So Ella Pilpula Ba'alma. The Pilpula, the analysis, the Svaras, that already, meaning Moshe could have just given it over and shared all the Torah mitzvahs and the requirements and everything like that. But the fact that he went in and explained it, there's the Rosh here, if you can see, scroll down, the Rosh on the bottom. Sorry, Pilpula Ba'alma. So I'll read it from my actual Gemara. Havana v'cherifus dahainu k'savim shalcha ki kol ha-chochma v'seichel remuzim k'sav ha-Torah b'tzuras ha-osios. He gave over the deeper levels of Torah as to what was going on. Okay. So now the Gemara continues. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mashmesh Shechinasa El Al-Gibor V'Oshir V'Chochem V'Onam. An Onav. V'Kulam V'Moshe. Meaning Hashem's Shechina only rests with people who have these character traits. They're strong. They are rich. They're wise. They're an Onav. And Moshe Rabbeinu had all these. So on this, I'll read to you from the Rambam. In the Hilchos Yisodi HaTorah, in Perek Zayin, he discusses what the requirements are to be a Novi. Miyisodei Hadas, later Shakil Minave al Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Adam. So one of the fundamentals of religion, again, this is Yisodi HaTorah, like the foundations of our religion. So he says, you have to know that Hashem communicates with human beings. There is a concept called Nevuah. Ve'in ha-Nevuah chale el al-Chocham Godol, Bechachmo Gibor b'Minosav, v'lo Yehe Yitzro Mizgabir Alav, b'Dover b'Olam. Elahu Mizgabir b'Daito al Yitzro Tomid, v'hu Baldea Rachova Nechona Ad Meod. So when the Rambam brings this down, he talks about being a Gibor. It's following the lines that we say in Pirkei Avos. Ezehu Gibor Hakovish Es Yitzro. Nevertheless, we'll go through the Gemara now, and you're going to see that it's talking about a physical strength. And the Rambam goes on and explains the person elevates their thoughts. They don't think about the foolishness and the vanities of this world. They're constantly being dovik in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And by this, somehow they become elevated and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a little bit of a longer Rambam, so I'm not going to read the whole thing. But if you want to, the Rambam's explanation of Nevuah begins here in Yesodi HaTorah Perek Zayin. It explains the person becomes elevated and they connect to the Malachim. Okay, so let's go through the rise now. I was going to show Psukim that show that each of these mitos existed, in fact, by Moshe Rabbeinu. Gibor, dechsiv vayifros es ha-ohel al ha-mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu spread the ohel, that's the tent, over the mishkan. That's not easy to do. You got to be strong. V'omer mar, Moshe Rabbeinu Moshe Rabbeinu spread it out himself. The Chassidic says in Uchsiv, Eser Amos Orech HaKeresh. Right? So each one of these was 10 Amos. Right? So this was very hard. So Moshe had to be tall and strong enough to spread out this oil over these boards. So Moshe says, one second. Ema, maybe it's not true that Moshe was so strong. Maybe Da'arich V'Katein. Maybe he was tall and he was thin, but that doesn't mean necessarily strong. That's what Rav Mamdan learns, that he was tall and thin. So it's not such a great feat of a strength to do this. So Elamin Hadain cross. Rav Mar says, okay, I'll give you a different pasuk to show you where Moshe Rabbeinu had unbelievable strength. Ksiv, the espos b'shnei haluchos. I was holding on to the two luchos. V'ashliche me'al shtei yadai v'ashabrim. And I threw them down. I broke them. Right, so Rishonim learned that was that pshat that Moshe Rabbeinu was strong because he could throw down the luchos, or maybe it was pshat that he was just carrying them because they were so heavy. Different. You know, the midrashim though, when the Klal Yisrael sinned with the Chet Ha'Egel, they became heavy, and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't drop them. B'tanya, we learned in a brisa, haluchos arkon shisha v'rochon shisha v'avion shalosh. So they were 6x6, and there were three tefachim. Thick. Now, you see clearly here that there's no such thing as having rounded luchos. That is a non-Jewish idea, a non-Jewish picture. Lubavitch Rebbe was very stark against having a rounded luchos. It comes from a non-Jewish sources. There are very old shuls that actually do have this, but we should be honest with ourselves and point out that's not really what it was. You see here, Beferish, it's a pasuk. Pasuk in Torah points out that they are... Whenever I'm a judge for like color war projects and the kids make curved luchos on the top, I'm going to have to take off points from your art project because it's not correct. No, I'll fix it. Okay, back to the story. Here we go. Where are we holding? Osher. So that's what we said Moshe was a gibor. Now, how do we know he was rich? Well, we said that already. Psalacha, because he got to keep the leftover expensive stones. Psaltan, shalcha, yehei, you get to keep them. Chacham, how do you know that Moshe Rabbeinu was wise? Rav Shmuel Domer Tavayu. Both Rav and Shmuel said the same idea. Chamishim Sharabina Nivru Ba'olam. There are 50 gates of wisdom that were created in this world. V'chulam Nitni L'Moshe Chosarachas. And Moshe had all of those except for one. Shneimar says in Pasuk, V'techesrehu Ma'at Me'elokim. I've made you a little bit less. Chaser, minus, blacking, a little bit less than Elokim. Right, so that's the short point that shows Moshe had was so smart. He had these 49 levels. Onav, how do you know Moshe was humble? Dechsiv, v'ha'ish Moshe, onav me'od. Moshe Rabbeinu was very humble. So you see all these categories. Ben Yehoyada says, what's the main idea going on over here? So he says, the whole thing is to be an onav. The whole thing is to be an onav. But, in the words of Ben Yehoyada, let's say you got nothing going for you. So you have nothing to make yourself. Pram. So says Ben Yehoyada, Nira denokit hakal techila. We mentioned the first thing easy, the easiest thing, the lightest, the most insignificant went first. Unless that was being a gibor. Devade ein yiswan hagivura hava oisha shayech l'nevua. Because think about it. What in the world does that make? Because I'm strong, I could bench press 250 pounds. Therefore, I'm a navi. Now I'm rich. I got a very diversified portfolio. Now I get to be a navi. So he says no. The first thing, the gevura, the strength, and the yeshivas, that's like the easiest things. Acha ikur shitzarech lios onov. The main thing is to be an onov. But it shows that if a person really has all these things that could technically lead a person to become a balgaiva, they're very strong, they're very athletic, they're very wealthy, whatever it is, and afal pichein, the guy is still an onov. Ah, okay, so now you have what to be proud about, right? You know, you have what to show off, and you're still humble. That's what we're talking about. But the ikur is, says the Ben Yehoyada, that we are, what's it called? Then the person's an onav. Okay, maybe we'll just go a little bit longer. Probably go a little bit later tonight. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol neviim ashirim hayu. All of the neviim were in fact wealthy. Minon, how do you know this? Mi Moshe, mi Shmuel, mi Amos, mi Yonah. Four neviim were wealthy. Moshe, Shmuel, Amos, and Yonah. And the war is going to take then to the next mission. Will show us what the source for all these was. Mi Moshe. Moshe, how do you know? Dechsiv. Lo chomer echad mehem nesasi. I didn't take a donkey from you. So v'i below agra. Moshe is saying, I didn't take a donkey without
payment. Salafuke man de shaki below agra. He's coming to exclude himself from a category of people who take something that belongs to others and doesn't pay for it. That's obvious. That you're a thief if you take something that doesn't belong to you without paying. Ellas, rather, it must be da filu ba agra. Even when with paying, I didn't take a donkey. Meaning, I was so wealthy, I didn't need to purchase anything for you. I was self-sufficient. I didn't need to buy anything. Dilma mishum de ani hava. No, maybe the reason why he didn't purchase a donkey is he couldn't afford one. He was an ani. Elamin, really, so we said it all before, psal lecha, you should carve for yourself, and psaltan yehe shalcha. You get to keep the remainder. So that's how we know Moshe was wealthy. Shmuel, had no Shmuel was wealthy, dechsiv, hinene anu vi neged Hashem v'neged mishicho eshor mi lakachti. Did I take a shor, did I take an ox, v'chamor mi lakachti, I take a donkey from you? Meaning, so, ibechina, if he's saying I didn't take an ox or a donkey for free, right? Lafuki man de shaka bechina, he's excluding himself from somebody that does take things that belong to other people for free? That can't be it. Ella rather must be dafilu b'schar. Even I didn't have to pay for you. I didn't buy a donkey. I didn't buy an ox from you because I was wealthy. Mor says, 1 second, maybe that's not the good raya. Maybe it's not a good proof. Dilma the onihav, maybe he was poor. And that reason, that's why he didn't buy anything, because he couldn't afford it. So Ella mehach rather comes from a different part. Pasuk. Ustashuvaso haramasa kisham beso. When you return to Rama, there was his bias, there was his house. Amarava komakum shaholich, every place where Shmuel went, beso imo, he took his home with him. He was so wealthy, he packed up and took everything, his servants, his belongings, every time he went from one place to another. So that would show that he was, in fact, wealthy. Amarava godol mashinemar bishmuel, yais mishinemar bimoshe. What said about Shmuel is better than what said about Moshe. The Ilu b'Moshe Rabbeinu Ksiv, it says, Lo chamor echad mehem nasasi, I didn't take one donkey from you, meaning I didn't take it, afilu b'schar, even paying for it. Il gabi Shmuel, when it comes to what it says about Shmuel, afilu b'rotzon lo scharo, even willingly, with the consent of the owner, he wouldn't rent anything. Dechsiv, v'yomer ki ashaktonu v'lo ratzosonu. I didn't defraud you, I didn't oppress you. Ratzosan means I didn't oppress, but it means like a lashon of ratzon, like I didn't take anything from him without him giving it over willingly. Okay, so that was Moshe, that was Shmuel Amos, the next Navi on the list. Dichsi vayan Amos, vayomer el Amatzia. Amos said to Amatzia, lo Navi anochi, v'lo ben Navi anochi. I'm not a prophet, I'm not the son of a prophet. Now really, he was a prophet, he was a Navi, but what he's saying, the way the Marsha explains, I'm saying I'm not a Navi, Shakir. I'm a real prophet, I'm not a false prophet. I'm a herdsman and I take care of sycamore trees. Rav Yosef translates this. Rav Yosef is the Baki in Targum because he was blind and he didn't learn Chumash. He learned the Targum. Arimari Giti Ona. I'm the owner of these flocks. V'shikmin li b'shefelosa, and I have sycamore trees in a lowland, so I'm not coming to give you nevuah for any financial gain because I don't need it. I'm wealthy. That's from Amos. And the last one is Yonah. Dichsiv v'yitin sechara v'yered bo. When he went to the very beginning, like opening pesukim in Yonah, he says he went down and he paid for everything. Amr v'yochanan shenosin sechara shel sefina kuli. He paid the entire the entire cost to run the whole boat. He was the only one there. Well, not the only one, but maybe he was actually. Maybe he was the only one. But he paid for all the empty seats, because in those days they didn't set sail until they had a full ship. It wasn't like nowadays. You go to the airport and you book a flight and there might be an empty seat. They wanted to get the full bang for their bucks. They didn't sail away until they had a full thing. So Yonah says, I'm not waiting. I'll pay for everybody. That's what the Marashah learns. Omrevi Romanus Sechara Shel Sfina Havia Arba Alafim Dinrei Zohav. It cost the whole boat, the fare was 4,000 golden coins. Omrevi Yochanan Betechila Haya Moshe Limei Torah Umashacha. Originally Moshe would learn Torah and he would forget it. Ad Shenitna Lo B'Maton. Until it was given to him as a gift. Shnema Vayitin El Moshe Kekaloso L'daber Ito. When it was given to Moshe, when he finished speaking it, but only once the Torah was given to him, that's when he was able to remember it. The Ben Yehoyada says on this, sorry, I know we went a little bit later than normal tonight, but he says the reason why Moshe was not, didn't remember it all right away, that it gave him to brought him to a place of simcha. V'hadadan lo b'matan b'sofar b'ayim. So why was it only given then as a gift at the end of 40 days? V'lo nosin lo b'matan a tekef b'yom rishon. Why didn't you get it at the beginning? The az lo haya nishkach me'ikari, wouldn't forget anything. Mimenu klum. Nearly b'siyata shmaiki sheyismach b'limuda b'yoser. This would cause Moshe Rabbeinu to have a greater simcha in his learning. Ki b'yoshe t'chila haya shocheach. He was forgetting it. V'acher mem yom bol lo koach hazechira. Now then he remembers after 40 days. So nishkach mimenu klum. Naslo simcha gedol b'limud ha-Torah. This brought Moshe to a higher level of simcha in his limud. I think that's an important thing to remind ourselves, that the Iker Torah, as the Avnei Nezer writes like this, the Torah Lishma means to be besimcha, to enjoy the learning that we're doing. And when you enjoy something, you want to do it more and more. And that's part of our hachana for Kabbalah Satorah as well, is to be mesameach in the Torah that we are able to learn.